All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Thursday afternoon in Toronto. Love it. Feeling good. How's everyone doing this afternoon?
Loving life. Fine. Beautiful day out there, Brian, to do nothing. But the sun was shining 10 degrees. I was talking with one of our bosses today about golf, and today's one of my like go-to days, kind of around 10, 11, 12 degrees. It's not exactly gorgeous outside as far as temperature, but I love teeing it. I love teeing it in this kind of weather. It's gorgeous.
Let me ask you a question, though. How's the health? Can you even golf if the courses were wide open today? Are you on the golf course?
I officially give myself the green light.
Well, I'm Dr. O'Neill here all of a sudden. I'm not talking
like
about
it.
You officially. I'm talking your doctors, whoever gives
you the green
light. I
think I could get out there, but I think I would have to throttle back a little bit.
Okay.
And I would predict that my tee ball right now, even throttling back, goes farther than one other person on this show right now.
Obviously me. But...
No. The guy to your right. I say right now my tee ball still goes farther than yours.
There's no way. It's not possible. I've been working on my swing. I've been working on my flexion. I'm starting to get some movement.
Flexion's
a big part of my program, my off-season program.
What do you mean? Like you're actually working on your swing?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm working on my swing, but I'm working on my flexion, which means, you know, I'm trying to make sure that I get the shoulders loose, the neck is loosening up, so I'm in a good position to pounce.
Whenever... Do golfers stretch? Pounce. Do you stretch?
Like... I don't stretch. You're supposed to, for sure. Like especially as you get older. Like I realize now, like I'm not athletic at all. I have no flexibility. Like I think I'm actually the least flexible human being on earth. There should be a competition for that.
I do the standard 45-year-old man grab the sidebars on the golf cart and like stretch my lats out and
you know what the textbook old guy golf stretches?
Over
the shoulder and just go like this
stick.
A couple times.
The Bobby Weeks commercial. The Bobby Weeks commercial where he's down in Florida and he says, "All right, fellas, let's give it a stretch before tee it up."
The Bob Weeks stretch is the textbook old guy stretch.
You know
what's
pathetic? It's like in my whole life I've thought, look at this loser with the stretching routine on the first tee. Now I have no choice. I have to do that.
You have to do it. Have to.
Yeah. But that's what I kept thinking about. Like, do you just go up? Like, I know some people like to hit practice balls and maybe to loosen the back up and that. But, like, are there guys that literally just go up to the first tee, touch their toes, and then just swing away?
Oh, it's trunk to tee, Noodles. I'd say 50% of guys that play do that. They burn it into the parking lot. They're always late or last minute. And literally it's clubs out of the trunk, walk up to the tee, and – bombs away.
No,
hit balls for maybe 20 minutes, probably a little bit, smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes, drink 3 Diet Cokes, and go to the first tee. Some days I won't even go to the range.
I have a buddy who has a routine. John Daly. He has a routine. He needs the full practice facility. Brian, you know him, Brando.
Yep.
And he needs to take a shower at the golf course. And
You're kidding me.
No, I'm like, I go, because I'd be at my cottage. I wouldn't shower for a month. I'm like, dude, why do you want to shower at this golf course? Like, what is wrong? He's like, I got to do it. I got to go there and I got to use the shower. And I'm like, well, I'm showing up 1 minute before we tee off. So that's my program. Are you on board or not? And it was at the point where we'd go in separate vehicles because he needed to shower and get gear. Like, I don't know.
I've never heard of that move before. Never.
Like a pregame shower. A pregame shower.
Everything. Shower before, shower after. It was the weirdest thing. And we almost came to blows because I'm like, that is not my routine at all. I don't shower at my own house. I'm not showering at the golf course.
See, you go in. I've obviously been to some nice courses and that, but like the men's locker room is like going into an abyss. You have no idea what is waiting for you around the corner. There could be a 90-year-old guy in the splits who's buck naked, stretching out like...
Totally geared down, eating a bucket of chicken fingers and fries.
like the craziest
geared down.
It's so true. Like It is actually horrifying to go into a gym locker room, like a public gym, or like a golf locker room.
Yeah, the golf's the worst, Noodles, because guys can do stuff geared down. They can play cards. They can eat food. It's just it's,
golf's
it's,
way worse because golf, you feel like it's your house, right? Like, especially if it's like an equity course and you're actually invested in the land. Like, it's like yours. And it's about seniority more than anything else. Like, I was a member at a club for just a couple of years, but an old club in Toronto. And the old guys ran it. Like, the tee sheet wasn't open until they decided when they were playing. We're talking golf carts across the green, in the bunkers. And these guys in the locker room, it was as if clothing was not an option. Ugh. It's an immediate gear down. It's a shower. It's a walk around. And you're just like, what is happening around here?
Yeah, it's the fruit department at the grocery store.
It's outrageous what goes on in there. But see, I've never heard of someone having to use the facilities to that extent before they play. That just sounds like Brando wants the full like experience.
He does.
Of the club.
He does. It was like a spa for him.
It was like a spa day
and a steamer and a shower.
Now, he's a really good player, I will say that.
Like, he hits it like a tour pro, but it's like, why the showering?
It'd be outrageous if you went out and bombed the 112. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you put in an hour and a half beforehand.
Yeah, we're not going to any course together.
You can't have it. You can't have it. You can't have a guy that takes advantage of the facilities to that extent and then shoots 118. You know, you just can't have it. Like, to his credit, he's a really good player. But
for me, I just like the stretching routine, and what brought it up is I was interviewed yesterday, and I think there's an article coming out. I won't, you know, blow that article or anything, but it was talking about Vladdy's flexibility, like, which is crazy, you know, like him doing the split. So I started looking at myself and going, you know, I used to be able to be decently flexible, never Kiprusoff flexible or Jonathan Quick or whatever, but like there was a time where I couldn't do feet forward splits, but I could turn and get the pelvis down pretty close, you know, like, especially if you're warmed up, you could do
that's
the splits.
Pretty impressive. Like, there's a small amount of people that have ever walked the earth that could do that.
But now, why the hell would I ever do that? Why would I want to do that? And when I see guys doing that, like, I'm watching Freddie Anderson right now, like, he's playing with the Marlies. I believe that was on, you know, this afternoon, but like, I'm seeing goalies like do the splits, and it hurts. It hurts to see guys do that. Now, I often wondered, you know, golfers or, you know, tennis players, guys who do it recreationally, you just roll up and just start playing. And it sounds like golfers just start playing. That's it.
They do. And that's like the difference is the cart comes into play. That's why when you see a guy in a cart cruising around, that guy does not stretch. Like, if you drive a cart, if you take a cart, which I do, you're not stretching. You know, it's not about exercise. It's about performance. It's about wanting
Pooley
to play.
Pooley walks every time. You know he's flexible.
Pooley stretches, though. I've talked to Pooley before. He does a full back routine every single morning. And
he had back surgery, right?
He did. He has a history of, like, serious back stuff. So it's not like he's doing it just to fill time. He's doing it for a purpose because he needs to be able to – you know, walk around and play the game and get to wherever he's got to get to. And he's an active guy, Pooley.
Right.
Like, Pooley's naturally active. He bikes all the time.
Didn't he ride his bike to the studio? Like, didn't he?
I don't know if he's ever
like that. In a studio.
I don't think he's ever made it all the way to the studio.
Come on. What do you think? He's going to go on the 401 on his bike?
I'm pretty sure I heard a story where he was like, yeah, I just jump on the bike. Like, he's got like this old Betsy or something, right? Doesn't he have like an old bike that he rides around?
He does. He calls it like Big Green or something like that. He's had it for 30 years. What he did was he biked it. We were doing a remote from the X, and that's where he biked down to that one day. I remember seeing him. He's puttering up to the studio. Well, I'm down there already. I see this guy on his bike. I'm like, this can't be serious.
Okay, I got a question for both of you, and give me the honest answer. I'm relocating condos. My reno's almost done. And as you exit the garage, there's a bike rack, and there's one that doesn't have a lock on it, and it's got a lot of dust. Does that mean free game?
It's probably a community bike at that point.
Dude, like what do you mean? There's no such thing in a condo building. Like, there's not a community bike. I'm thinking I just grab it. Who cares?
Wow.
Why not put it back, though? That's what I'm saying. Make it a community bike. You ride it around. put it back where it was. No one's going to know any better if it's been sitting there for that long.
But I'm going to another condo. I'm saying that bike goes to the
new... Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that seems a little bit greasy.
Yeah.
I won't do it.
I wouldn't go that far, but... If it's that's the thing. If it's been sitting there for a long time, clearly.
Dude, it hasn't budged, and there's no lock on it, and there's 10 pounds of dust on it.
Then someone left it there, and they probably moved. They probably moved a year ago, forgot they had the bike.
That is the guy. That's my guy. That is my guy.
That's probably the truth.
Yeah, but somebody should put it, like, if you're giving something away, just put a sign that says free. That's it. And people will be like, okay, this is, you can take this. Instead of, like, now you've stolen something. What if the guy is just, you know, leaves it there for a while and goes back and it's gone. I would feel bad if you felt like I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't take it. And there's, I don't know if is it called statute or statue of liberty.
Statute of limitations.
Limitations. Yes. There's got to be a timeline for that.
Yeah, but who's going to determine when the clock started? Yeah, it's probably in your best interest just to leave it. I mean, you're a public figure. You don't need to be bombing around on some guy's bike, gets caught. What if he's got a tracker on it? Like, that would be quite
a
the
tracker.
Sting.
The thing's a hunk of crap.
It's a just... bike sting. Waiting to see who's going to take
a
it.
A bike sting.
That'd be great. Anyway, we got a Leaf game tonight. You're in Studio O. You're on the panel. You can watch that game on TSN. And it's going to be a fun one tonight. And obviously the big news from last night was that Rangers-Capitals game. And we were talking about it for the better part of 2 days.
That's right.
Based on what happened on Monday and then the anticipation of what was going to happen last night. And I would say it exceeded my expectations in terms of the way everything played out.
Right.
You know, okay, but let me ask you, Hayes, were you grossed out? Were you offended by what went on?
No, I'm not. You're talking to the wrong crowd when it comes to that.
That's what I'm trying to get at with this. This is something that's not – you're not going to get at the Quebec Pee Wee Tournament, okay? And what I've wondered in the last couple of days, I like this business where everybody kind of has their opinion, but these people with the fake outrage, crying and whining and all the nonsense that why did this happen and it could have stopped – the New York Rangers players, and I wasn't a violent player. I did not fight. I fought twice in 12 years and got my ass kicked both times. I probably would not be partaking in something like that last night, but I had other guys on my teams that would do that. The Rangers, not one of them said, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this league. It's too rough out there. I don't want to go out there and do that. They all handled it. Guys like Strome. They all went out there and Smith, they handled it like big boys. And the New York Rangers dealt with it to the best of their ability. And we move on and we move forward. Wow. If you didn't like it, go watch the Quebec Pee Wee Tournament. Like, the bitching and whining about this is insane. Everybody was glued to their TV last night saying, I got to watch the Rangers and the Capitals. And don't act like you're so pissed off because you're fake outrage and you're looking for attention with your garbage nonsense tweets. So stop it and we move on and it's over with. Like, come on.
Well, I mean, you know what? Everyone looks at it differently. The only thing I would pose to this panel, because you know what? It's done. The Tom Wilson thing is done as far as it was a $5,000 fine. Buchnevich is going to get clipped, and so he should. He cross-checked Mantha in the face, crossed the line. And people are going to try and tie, well, you know, he got this, so he should only get this. You look at every individual situation differently, if you ask me. The one thing I would say, and I wholeheartedly believe this, and this is where I wanted to ask you guys, is I personally believe even if Wilson was suspended for last night's game, there would have been fights. And I'll tell you why. There, over the last 48 hours leading up to that game, how many people called the Rangers soft?
Yeah, and the greatest one of the greatest of all time, Mark Messier, did. You don't think the players got the word that's one of the greatest captains in the history of the world, a guy that owns New York, called them a bunch of losers?
Like, I guess that was, like, people are going to say, like, if Tom Wilson wasn't playing, that wouldn't have happened. Well,
wrong.
Tom Wilson had gotten a fight. He wouldn't have been able to fight because he wouldn't have been into the game. I agree with your viewpoint, Hayes, that he should have got one game because of coulda, shoulda, woulda, that would have happened. But I still think there would have been fights because the Rangers wanted to send a message that they are team tough. They wanted to stick together. The only guy, instead of a moose turned into a mouse, was Buchnevich.
A moose.
He had an opportunity. He had the opportunity to drop the glove several times. He slashed Wilson. I thought Keith Jones did a fantastic job breaking it down in between periods, going, here's your opportunity, here's your opportunity. And Anthony Mantha, which, you know, he's a big guy, but I don't think he's known as a killer. You know, he gives them an opportunity to turn around, and he gets a cross check in the face. So you get, here's the victim 2 days earlier. Now all of a sudden, he's the guy who's the aggressor with the violence from the statement.
Right, and there's so much that came out of it last night. I agree with you guys in terms of the Rangers made that decision. The Rangers made the decision we have to react based on what happened two nights ago. And there was a time where we had an appreciation as a society for passion, for sticking up for yourself, for having pride in the fact that you're not going to allow anyone else to push you around. That's what they did last night. I salute them for that. In the end, no one got hurt, and they felt like they had to send a message as much to themselves as to the Capitals or anyone else. The Rangers made that call. And, yes, if Wilson isn't in the lineup last night, it is quieted down for sure. Clearly, he doesn't have to go. And I have no issue with Brendan Smith jumping him and getting bombs in first. That's what he had to do. It's not a fair match. And Wilson takes liberties on guys all the time. He can take a couple licks. He was fine. Yeah. He's a big boy. So I appreciate that Smith went at him, grabbed him, started throwing, and then it was seatbelt time because Wilson's a big boy. But I appreciate the fact that he said, I have to take this on, and he did that.
Yeah.
But the spontaneity of it all, the craziness of it all, it's very rare. Like, I think we've lost sight in that. Like this, we haven't seen something like that in a long, long time. And guess what? We likely won't for a long, long time.
That's right.
But it's a fast sport. It's a physical sport. There's big boys, and these are grown men that make their own decisions. Every once in a while, it's going to happen. And I'm with you, O, in terms of this. Like, there's so many people, or not, I shouldn't say so many people, but it's as if you're embarrassed. The inferiority complex comes out. It's always from Canadians. Because there's this concern that Americans are going to look down on us. Or, no, you know, you hear this, no wonder it's the fourth biggest sport. Yeah, if there's no fighting, it'll be bigger than the NFL. Like, how stupid is that take? If we didn't fight last night, they'd be bigger than the NFL. But, well, they had to fight. Old Tom Wilson caused everything.
Hayes,
and that's why they're
not
the biggest sport in the States.
I got to tell you, I played in a non-traditional market
viewpoint
in Carolina. And guess what they loved more than anything? Hits and fights.
Yeah, fighting goals.
Like,
it's passion, emotion, rivalries, bad blood.
This was an outlier last night.
It's an absolute outlier. The game has changed drastically. Like, like if this is what you, if you're pushing for a quieter game, a more skilled game,
it can't
get
any
more. You've got it. You've won.
Yeah, you've
like
won.
It's already happened. This is going to happen, though, from time to time. Like,
thank you.
Bad things still happen from time to time. And I will say, looking at the game last night, we all had a similar reaction to the statement the Rangers sent out. Right. We all were like, what is this? I can't believe they're going down this path. And I revisited it yesterday, and I said, after reading it even more on Tuesday night, I was even more embarrassed because I couldn't believe that they would complain and whine publicly like that. If you take issue with a decision, I get it. It's your team. It's your guy. And Panarin was the one that took the brunt. That's your superstar. That's your guy. Call up Bettman. You have all the right to do it. Call up Parros, and he'll take that call. He has to. If not, he better get on the phone and call up Dolan or whoever it is and make your complaints. But to do it publicly, the reason I took the biggest issue with it is because at some point you're going to put yourself in a position of hypocrisy.
Right.
I didn't think it was going to take 24 hours. But Buchnevich throwing a flying cross check to the face is worse than anything Wilson did two
nights
before.
Thank you very much. Thank you
very
much.
And yet you don't hear a peep out of the Rangers today. Horrifying acts of violence. And yet there's a flying cross check to the face. And now the Rangers are like, what are we supposed to do? And it's not only them. This happens with every team, and it bothers me. It always has. It always will. This complete lack of understanding of the way this sport works, and it has for 100 years, and it will for the next 100. At some point, what goes around comes around. One of your guys is going to cause the infraction. And you hear it all the time. Something happens to your player. This is a joke. He should be thrown out of the league. The league's a joke. This is an embarrassment. Two nights later, your own guy does something, and, well, he's just a good guy, and I didn't see it as that bad of a play. Everyone is selfish. Everyone turns into a hypocrite at some point, and the Rangers are at the forefront of that right now.
Watch that, Buchnevich. Tom Wilson, he's an old-school guy. He'll put that one in the memory bank. And when he's going to retire, he'll find out where that guy is, wherever he's playing, and he'll get something that he doesn't want.
Well,
I'm telling you right now.
No, you know what's going to happen is Mantha's going to go him next time they play.
Oh, Mantha will beat his ass too, yeah.
I don't know if Buchnevich will drop the gloves, but
He might not have a choice.
He might not have a choice.
You're bang on, Hayes, and we should admit that if this was Toronto, it would be loud. It would be just as loud. It would actually be louder. We know that. The fan base is passionate. You know, people are saying, well, what if that was Marner? What if that was Matthews? Absolutely. Star players, the fan bases love them. They want to protect them. So we're not absolved from that conversation. I don't disagree with you at all. My point was, looking at last night, I agreed that I think Tom Wilson should have got a game or more, whatever, but that's not going to change. But last night, it was the Rangers as a team were like, we are standing up for ourselves. Here, you got a new general manager and president that, by all accounts, is like, I want to change the makeup of this team a little bit. I want to see who still wants to be here, who wants – people want to send messages different ways. Like I say, Tom Wilson wasn't on the ice to start the game. And they still fought. So why?
And I'll give credit to the Capitals, too, because you'll notice no one jumped. It was just kind of like, all right, if you guys want it, we'll give it to you. And let's all kind of square off and do this, and that'll be the end. Every fight outside of Smith jumping Wilson, which, again, I have no issue with that because it is Wilson. And Wilson's taking liberties on other guys, and he probably knew it when he stepped over the boards based on that first shift. He probably knew someone was coming. And it was Smith that grabbed them. But beyond that, it was off the draws, square up, and it happens, and that's the end of it.
You know, for a smaller guy, Ryan Strome can throw bombs.
I thought he won that fight.
For a guy that doesn't look anyone that fights ever, he can throw knuckles, man. I would not want to fight that
and
guy.
Friend of the show, too. Like, you know what? I was happy. Like, guys take things personally. And the one I thought was cool, and there wasn't a big storyline, but if you look at the original melee, do you see Big Z skate in? And he skates right to Brandon Smith, and they have a conversation. And it wouldn't surprise me if Smith said, I'm not fighting you. I'm going to fight Wilson tonight. Because you watch Big Z. Like, he's looking, surveying the situation. He just glides into Brandon Smith. And they have a, you know, they're chatting. And Z is staring right through him.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if Smith said, I'm not going to fight you, but I'm going after Wilson first opportunity I get. And Z's probably like, have at it. But then later in the game, there was a few times where it was starting to get stupid and Z was starting to get his, you could see his blood getting a little bit higher and he went over and got the 10-minute misconduct. I almost thought that he went over to tell Smith like, hey, enough's enough, smarten up type
of
thing.
I got based on his body language afterwards, because he was telling the refs, like, he was doing the tap down. Like, I think he went over there to say, all right, enough, everyone settle
down.
Here. Let's not get stupid here. Right. Like, it already is crazy. And I'm not suggesting that isn't, you know, crazy. It's a wild game. It's a wild event. There's a lot of emotion that went into it. But it happens. It doesn't happen often. And they're big boys on both sides, and the Rangers made that decision. And where it goes from here, I guess we'll find out. But the season's going to be over for them in two games. And it probably helped also that Wilson left the game. Whatever he had, an upper body injury, and I don't know what it was.
I think the Capitals were like, that's enough. Like,
potentially.
I would.
And that might have been a smart play. If that was the case, just, hey, enough. Because he's the guy that's going to draw all of this out. You know, like, he's the one that's – he represents what he represents right now.
I agree.
Anyway, the Leafs are back in action tonight. Freddie Anderson was on the ice this afternoon. He's out of the game. He played just over half the game for the Marlies. Gave up two goals quickly, but ends up making 12 stops on 14 shots. So where he's at, I'm not sure what we can read into it because it's a minor league game. But we'll touch on that. The Leafs and Habs back in action tonight. Jays with a big come-from-behind win last night. Huge eighth inning. And Albert Pujols in the news, and it's not positive based on his standing out in Anaheim. So we'll get to that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the news is in Pavel Buchnevich of the New York Rangers has been suspended for one game for his cross-check to the face of Anthony Mantha last night, and which I think is appropriate.
Too.
But that's the thing. Like, people are so on edge now if you're in New York.
Now the people I just mentioned, the fake outrage crowd, they're going to be like, how could they give him a game? And Wilson's walking free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all comes
people
back.
Are
Wilson
like, there's a
made
pile him. Driver on his head. Like, people don't know what a pile driver was. That wasn't what he did to.
I saw somebody tweet today. It was somebody from Montreal that said, Tom Wilson slammed someone's face into, like, it's just, anyway, it he got a game. Buchnevich got a game for that ridiculous
play. And he should have, and so should have Tom Wilson. That's,
yeah, Wilson should have got a game.
Bottom line is he should have got a game, and so should have Tom Wilson. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of wreckage here. You know what was lost in all of this? TJ Oshie. Like, you know, his father passing away, Kopitar getting it. Like, there were some great things that happened in the NHL last night. Everyone's going to focus on one thing. There was five or six things that were unbelievable in the NHL last night.
Yeah, the Oshie story in particular was amazing. His dad passed away. He'd been suffering from Alzheimer's since 2012, and Oshie had missed the game earlier in the week, and he comes back and scores a hat trick last night, and he's emotional on the bench. It was an incredible story. Yeah. Somewhat of a kind of Disney-esque type of storyline for him to do what he did last night. That really was something that should be remembered. You're right.
Right.
I mean, this game will be noted for the fights and the aftermath and everything that came with it over the past 72 hours in New York between these two teams. But, yeah, shout-out to TJ Oshie and Kopitar with 1,000 points. And
Fleury, the third overall in wins in the history of the game. Like, crazy.
There was a
like
lot of history last night.
Crazy.
A lot
history.
Of history last night.
Yeah, I loved it, though. Like, you're right. It's unfortunate, but, you know, that's what people are talking about. But there were some really, you know, I thought some pretty cool things throughout the league, too,
Ottawa,
as there is every night. Yeah.
Ottawa laying a beating on the Habs. I mean,
yeah, Ottawa's playing well, man.
They're
7-1-1 in their last nine.
Yeah. If there was ever a coach of the year for someone that didn't make the playoffs, I think it's DJ Smith in Ottawa.
I totally agree. I've been thoroughly impressed.
Yeah,
like really,
they were getting
started.
dummied. And usually how the story goes is that just rides out for the rest of the year and it's a complete embarrassment. And you have to head scratch and think, wow, like what the hell have we done here? But you get that base in place that whatever they're doing every night, and Jamie covers the games. You throw in some experienced talent with that, some elite talent if they can ever get it, then watch out because those guys work their asses off, and it's impressive to watch, man.
And their kids are growing. Like what you're seeing, a lot like, you know, we should go back. Like when Matthews and Marner and all them came in, you know, Nylander, guys like that, they were young. You could tell they were really good players. Obviously, Matthews, different level. Marner, I think, different level, but like, this Josh Norris is a really good player. Brady Kachuk's impactful.
And
like
Brady Kachuk, Jamie, I always thought there was never a chance that he would be regarded as one of the better of the two. But as for right now, this kid's a monster, man. Like, he is an absolute monster.
You know what he is? He's his dad.
Yeah.
Like, Brady is Keith. That's what he is. Like, he's big. He's physical. He can fight. He's got, you know, if you look at his stats, there's some crazy stats where he's got the most shots, the most hits, you know, in the NHL. And I think he's up there for, like, takeaways and stuff. Like, he's a pretty complete player. But they've got the framework there in place. You know, Shabbat. You know, they're working on their goaltending. Like, there are still, obviously, Pierre Dorion's got work to do there. But they've got some kids coming, too. There's Jake Sanderson and Ridley Gregg. And they're going to have a high draft pick again this year and picks and stuff. Like, I believe, Hayes, you may have quoted this stat. Going into last draft, didn't they have like 27 picks or something in last draft and the next two combined? Like it was something
crazy.
Yeah,
I don't remember the number, but it was a boatload. And that's why I do think it's really imperative, and this applies to any team in any sport, when you've bottomed out, and they had bottomed out, really, since they traded Carlson and Stone. Like everyone knew it was coming. They were committed to it. They knew they were going to bottom out. And they never got that first overall pick, but they've had their high picks. And they have more picks coming. At some point, you've got to turn and focus on winning and make it imperative that you have to win and you've got to put forth a system that will be conducive to winning in the future. And I think that's important here because I'm sure there's still, you know, a couple of fans in Ottawa that might be looking at this saying, man, I wish we had a better chance at first overall. You've played that. You've done that. Now it's about putting in place the building blocks in terms of what you're supposed to do so that you could truly get out of it.
Right.
You know, like you don't want to be in the doldrums of the basement for year after year after year. Talk to Buffalo about that. The Leafs were in that spot for a decade where they just you could never get out.
No.
Like you've got to start building your way out.
Man.
Yeah, you have to. And I think that is probably this is the most important step. This is the one. Like you've put forth a foundation in Ottawa. Now you got to get out. Like, right. you've allowed yourself to dig the hole because it was in your best interest to trade vets and trade talent and load up on kids and give them an opportunity to play. But you've got to get back to the surface and beyond.
It's another example of how the comments out of Houston for the Houston Rockets and their general manager was completely asinine. When he said, I believe it was, don't talk to me in 2027. I need to be spoken to in 2030. Like, that is the most outrageous comment from an executive. Like, you would think, like, 2 or 3 or 4 years, you should be digging out of it, and you should be turning a corner. For that, when that guy said that, I can't be judged in 2027. I need until 2030. That was something else.
Well, he's buying himself some time. Like, that's a, I would love to be a manager and be like, hey, you know what? Like, give me 8 years. Yeah. Like, Glenn Sather, people forget. Like, Glenn Sather for years in Edmonton was the architect of, you know, the Cups and all that. And he said, man, if I had the Rangers payroll and all of that type of money, you could see what I built. He went there. They had, when I got traded to that team, they were dumping people left and right. Like, it was like a Noah's Ark. They were just throwing people. It was like a gong show. And at one point, their payroll was like $82 million back then. That's like the cap nowadays. And they had Bobby Holik and all these guys making $10 million a year. And they were all on, it was a country club. It was an absolute gong show around there.
Right.
And you know what? Like,
and they could never get out of it. But they never really bottomed out. They kept trying to spend their way out, right? Well, like, the Rangers went about it in a different way, clearly.
Right. But, you know, and then they sent the letter out. I don't know if you saw Chris Drury's comments today saying, like, we sent the letter out. We think we're headed in the right direction, which I believe they are.
I believe they are, too. But Drury also said today the playoffs were not the expectation. So why is Jeff Gorton and John Davidson out? Like, if it's not connected to the statement from a couple of days ago, or it's just trying to get a read on James Dolan, which I understand is an impossibility. But how can you have the new guy show up and say, oh, we weren't supposed to make the playoffs, but I'm here for whatever reason because I'm going to be the guy that takes the next step? Like, what is this plan from Chris Drury that is going to be so drastically different and more impressive and more productive?
To the guy that's been sitting and tossing ideas beside him through the whole time.
Yeah, then right. Gorton,
like, if it was
Davidson.
Such a brilliant, if he's got such a brilliant plan that nobody knows about, why didn't he tell it to Gorton when he was working with him?
Well, and furthermore, like,
unless there was a difference in philosophy,
which like there very well could be. It could be a Nick Nurse, Dwayne Casey. We went through it. We saw that played out, and we all had the same reaction. If you're sitting beside DC, why aren't you hooking him up with a game plan?
Yeah, these innovative ideas you have.
Obviously, maybe they were running into a wall. Maybe Casey wasn't listening to them. Maybe Nurse wasn't supplying them. Maybe Nurse was thinking, I got to wait for my own opportunity to truly pounce. And I would say it worked out pretty well for him. But there's this kind of belief now, potentially in New York, that part of the reaction was because of the way the team was built and what Wilson and the Capitals did two nights ago. Like,
right.
You know, you need more toughness or whatever. But how does that jive with the statement that went out? That's like, it's been such a wild week. This, trying to figure out what the Rangers are doing and where they're going with all
that,
this.
That needs to be, when the dust settles, a 30 for 30 on that. Like, what really happened? Who authorized the statement? Who was against it? Who was for it? Because I played for that organization. Their PR guy, he's good. Like, he knows what the hell he's doing. Like,
that's a market where you have to know what you're doing.
He must have, like, it's not just one person. It's a team. But they must have fought that with all of their might. That's why I think James Dolan put it out, because that type of stuff goes up the chain. You're not, you know, if you're the general manager of the team, you're putting out a statement, you better make sure that runs out, especially something like this that's calling a league employee out. That's got to go up to ownership. That doesn't just, you know,
I still I still believe that likely was the case as well, but it just, I guess we're trying to connect dots that are,
right,
you know, camouflaged right now. It's kind of tough to do. You see, Albert Pujols is going to be released by the Angels. And
the Grappler sent out a tweet saying, I'd like to see him in a Jays jersey. What? The Grappler.
Yeah.
We got to start doing Grappler stupid tweets again, because it's just insane.
Some of his tweets are pretty wild. Yeah, he's like, I get where the grappler's coming from because, like, Pujols is an all-time great. All-time great.
I know, but not now.
He's done. Like, there's a reason the Angels are in the last year. They've paid him out. One of the worst 10-year contracts in history based on production.
They literally signed him to that 10-year contract at the back end of him being a superstar. It was ridiculous.
You look at his stats, he has not even been analytically average in about 5 years. Like, average in about a handful of years. Where's he playing in Toronto? Like, I get it, Pujols, Blue Jay jersey, that, you know.
Well,
but you can't even go down to the dome to see him.
He did claim he just wants to see the name on the back of the jersey.
Well, right. I don't know. Is he backing out of his statement? Because there's been times where I always feel like the grappler is one of those guys on Twitter that live tweets a game.
I think some of his tweets are so stupid that he wants us to – maybe that's what he wants us to do, get his attention and look at the tweet and say, look how stupid this is.
But if he's watching a game and somebody gets kicked out, I feel like he's one of those guys that goes, bye-bye, and tweets that up. Bye-bye, whoever that is. You
grappler,
know, like,
are you there? I mean,
are you there? We
got to
at least put him on. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's one of those guys.
I know exactly what you mean.
So what's with the Pujols? Why do you want Pujols here?
Like I said, I just kind of want to see it on the back of the jersey. But I got to ask you a question. Like, what's the difference between the Leafs signing Joe Thornton and the Jays signing Albert Pujols?
Hayes, please, I can't.
Grappler. Let's put a couple things into perspective. One, there's 12 possible spots for Joe Thornton to play. You know, he could play any of the left or right wing. Technically, he could play up the middle. Where Pujols is either playing first or DH. So he's not playing first if Vladdy's there. I guess you're going to sign him as a DH, as a bat off the bench. Is that what you're suggesting? And Thornton was about what he can bring to the table in terms of veteran presence. Can Pujols still bring that? Like, you got to play to have a voice. And I don't know if it matters as much in baseball.
Well, and that's why it's one of those things, too. Like, Albert, you know, the reason that he wanted to leave L.A. was because he was pretty much told he wasn't going to get playing time anymore. So, I mean, if he came to Toronto, he's probably not going to get playing time either.
He wanted to leave L.A., first of all, Grappler, because he was told he's leaving L.A.
he's probably got a house there. Like, it probably didn't put it on the market.
He was given a one-way ticket, and then he said, I want to leave anyway. Yeah. So, thank you.
Yeah, we're breaking up. I'm breaking up with you.
No, listen, it's one of those hero tweets. I know it's one of, you know, your favorite kind of tweets. I wouldn't mind seeing Albert Pujols' name on the back of a Jays jersey. Someone I've loved watching baseball over the course of his career. Wouldn't be the worst thing to see his name on a
Let me ask
uniform.
Before you go, then, we'll let me ask you a question. Have you ever...
Yes, he has.
If somebody has been kicked out of a game, live-tweeted, bye-bye, have you ever done that?
Maybe when I first got Twitter, you know, 8-9 years ago, but I have not done it in quite a while. Not since I started on this show. I can promise you that.
Well, get on the Twitter machine because next week we might sample around stupid grappler tweets and see.
Well, that would be awesome.
We'll go through them and we'll be the judge.
I think Al's brother might be right there.
I'll think of some
too.
Good ones.
Okay, yeah. Fire up some pretty quality tweets that we can dissect at some point.
And, yeah,
Al's brother's right in the mix too. Al's brother's always...
I think
he subtweets the show a lot. Like, he secretly hates a lot of our takes.
My favorite Al's brother tweet is when he asked Haley Slavin from Calgary if she watched his power rankings this afternoon, and she wrote back, actually, no, I didn't. And then I think he followed that up with, here's the clip of it.
It's Haley Selvian, and yes, I know exactly which one you were talking about, because she was like, actually, no, I didn't watch it.
And I thought it was not Slavin, Selvian?
Selvian. Haley Selvian.
Okay, yeah, she was like, actually, Al's brother, no, I did not. And he was like, oh, well, here's the clip.
Because she had tweeted something, because she covers the Flames. So she's calling. This is the beauty of Al's brother. This is why we love Al's brother, because he believes his reach is international, or certainly, you know, national anyway.
Which it's pretty damn close.
It is. I mean, Al's brother, he goes viral, and he's a big part of what we do here. But Haley had tweeted something out, like, you know, wow, what a game by Johnny Gaudreau or something. And then Al's brother sneaks in with
all
the
sudden,
wow. I wonder if he saw my power rankings. Did you? And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
What if she wrote back and quote tweeted, who's this? Like, you know, what is it?
Who
like,
dis?
You know, who dis?
Yeah.
Who dis?
Who dis? You know? Lafreur to Alain. the Fred.
I love it.
Or she just blocked him. That would have been better. There's nothing less respectful than just a straight block when someone comes at you with something that really is harmless.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would have been great if she just decided, I can't have you in my timeline.
Who is this guy?
Yeah, it's got to be a block. I'm trying to work out here. I have a professional job. I cover a team. And I don't need you sliding into my tweets and my timeline wondering if you, you know.
Caught the segment.
That's all. Exactly.
That's awesome.
So, all right, Al's brother will track his tweets. We'll get the grappler cooking because he's on the warpath, and we'll see what he's got, and we'll revisit probably at some point next week. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5 o'clock. Leafs, Habs in action tonight on TSN. Ray will have the call, so we'll catch up with him, tee up the game. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so Al's brother is protesting the last segment, and he's called in an infraction, and he wants to clarify and make sure everyone knows actually what happened when he and Haley were, you know, tweeting back and forth.
Did he write you to explain this?
Back and forth, or did she just flush him?
Yeah, it was a one-way street that I think she acknowledged quickly, essentially, but that was about it. Al's brother said it was about Mangiapane, who had scored a sweet goal that game, that night, after he had listed him as one of his underrated players.
Oh.
And I guess she had tweeted about how he was maybe underrated, and Al's brother thought maybe, I don't know, was she stealing his material
segment
or something like that? Maybe it was subconscious.
She commented on his goal, and Al's brother chimed in with, "You must have been watching my power rankings today." And she wrote, "Actually, no, I haven't."
Like, even if she was like, that's the funny part. Like, some people would just try and be nice and be like, "Oh yeah, you know, I caught it," or whatever. She was like, she actually flat out be like,
"Yeah, she
no.
was flat out. Actually, no. I did not see that."
It wasn't far off from a middle finger emoji and a block.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
It really wasn't that far off. But
that is awesome.
We got to get Haley Salvian on at some point. She writes with The Athletic. Does a great job out in Calgary.
Yeah.
And we'll try to clarify that business at some
we
point.
We should.
Soon.
Maybe Friday. Is it Friday tomorrow?
Friday's tomorrow, if you can believe
so
it.
So hilarious.
We could get them both on. We could get them both on, double boxes, have them both on, and say, "Haley, do you remember when this gentleman, Al's brother, chimed in and you basically stomped on him and said, 'I did not watch your segment, sir'?"
Yeah, we definitely need to get
And you
to
could
the
tell how
that.
Jacked Al's brother was, because you know how he gets. He's kind of fired up, and he goes, "Oh, must have been watching my segment on TSN Overdrive today." No, I wasn't.
Yeah, actually, that's not true at all. It didn't happen. So, we'll make sure to get to the bottom of that. And we're tracking the Wells Fargo. And speaking of protest.
Anything? Sniffing?
Well, I can tell you this. If Patrick Reed wins, there's going to be a protest.
You know I'm up early, and at 6:25 I got withdrawal. Powder is out.
Webb?
Yeah.
Webb Simpson. Yeah, he's out.
And so I'm like, that's my guy. And I wrote you immediately, and I looked to see if anyone had teed off, and Powder was out, so I took Patrick Reed.
Yeah, it's just because it was Reed. Like, Reed, and I know he plays hardcore so well.
Dude, I abuse that pick. I pick it all the time, and he never does anything. The one week I don't take him, he wins out in San Diego.
He wanted Torrey Pines running away. That's when he was really sniffing around in the rough.
Oh,
and there was some really
he was
action.
Guard. He had his Ronnie Rolston gardening gloves on that tournament.
Yeah, he did. You know who I always take? He was 300 today, is Sung J.M., and I didn't take him. And MZ
what is
right
the leaderboard
there.
Looking like?
Keith Mitchell's at 6 under. He's in the lead. He's through 14. He's still in the course. You know who's had a big day is Phil Mickelson. He's starting to sniff out the Premier Golf League and maybe putting the PGA Tour on notice. He's 5 under through 15.
Nice.
Yeah, so Phil's having a pretty good day. And none of our boys are really up. Thomas and Hovland are both 2 under, so we both have guys who are within striking distance. But we'll see. And Corey Connors, my guy. You handed me Connors, which he's the go-to Canadian right now on tour in terms
he
of
is.
Tour damage.
He is.
He's dialed in, man. He looks really good.
That was forced by a buddy of mine. He sent me an email saying, "If Connors wins, you'll be ashamed of yourself." And I wrote back, "Actually, no, I won't, but we'll take some Canadians." So, Steve Kazaa, there you go.
Shout out to Steve. Rays coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.